Hi, I'm Val Majoros. I am a 3-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Today we're talking to Lynette Bisconti. She's the president of Gateway for Cancer Research, and she's also a breast cancer survivor. How are you today, Lynette?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Excellent. Well, let's just jump right into your story about you being a breast cancer survivor and then how you got involved with Gateway for Cancer Research.
Sure. 12 years ago, my husband and I, after being married for 2 years, said, you know, it's time to start a family. And we started trying to start a family. At the same time, I said to my husband, I'm a little bit tired. Something just isn't quite right. I was 34 years old.
Wow.
And on vacation, I found a lump in my breast. I told my husband, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to worry about it. I'll wait a couple of weeks, see if it's still there, and then I'll go see my internist. Because I'd had a lump before, and it turned out
right.
to be nothing. So 2 weeks later, it was still there. It was a painful lump.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my internist, said, I'm really scared. I've been a little bit tired. I'm trying to get pregnant, and something just doesn't feel right, and I found this lump. That internist told me, don't worry about it. I think you just injured yourself. Go home. 4 days later.
Oh, I hate hearing that.
I know. 4 days later, I got pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And in the back of my mind, I kept that lump. And you know how you just, you know your body
you
well
know.
Enough to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that lump was nagging at me in the back of my mind. So I said to my husband the day after Christmas, this was on December 11th, that I get pregnant. On the day after Christmas, I say to my husband, I'm pregnant. And he says, no, you're not. And I said, I think I am. And we went and got a test kit, and it came back positive. I went to my OBGYN, and I called him up. And when I saw him in the hallway, I pulled him into a room and said, you've got to check out this lump.
Right.
3 weeks after that, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
What was the stage?
It was stage 2B.
What does a B mean? What are the letters?
A B means you're right on the cusp of stage 3. So it was worse than stage 2A. So I was stage 2B.
Okay.
And that meant that my tumor was big enough to put me in stage 2B, and I had several lymph nodes positive.
Okay.
It also meant that my pathology report said that it was 100% HER2 new positive, which meant that it was an aggressive form of breast cancer.
Right. That's what I have as well.
You too.
Or had. Yes.
Exactly. So I was diagnosed 3 weeks into my pregnancy with an aggressive form of breast cancer at the age of 34 years old. And the surgeon who came into my room looked at me and said, I don't know how to tell you this. I finished his sentence. I said, it's cancer. And he looked at me and said, and you have to terminate the pregnancy immediately.
What?
Because the hormones will fuel the, from your pregnancy will fuel the cancer.
Oh, right.
And you have to terminate immediately. That day we met with an oncologist and a radiation oncologist. Both were very nice people, but both advised me to terminate immediately. And my family got me to the point where I said, okay, I understand that I need to do this. But on Sunday, I started to bleed and almost lost that pregnancy and decided in my mind, no, if this little guy hangs on, I'm hanging on with him. And all decisions made went that way from there forward. He hung on. And I had surgery at 10 weeks into my pregnancy, and then my pathology report came back, and it was not as good as we had hoped.
Mm-hmm.
We were, you know, as cancer patients, we always pray and hope for a pathology report that isn't the worst.
Right.
Mine came back, and it was not the best. And I remember saying to the nurse who told me about it when she called me, I said, this is bad, right? And she said, yes, this is bad.
I'm surprised the nurse said that, because usually they wait for the doctor.
Yeah, she called me on a Friday night.
Oh, okay.
And so...
Oh, happy weekend.
Happy weekend. Everything seemed to happen on Friday for me. I was diagnosed on a Friday. I got my pathology report on a Friday. So I spent a lot of time researching my disease, researching
mm-hmm. yes.
cancer and pregnancy, and researching what my options really were, and went armed as a very educated patient to 8 medical opinions. And the reason that I sought 8 medical opinions was not because I was in denial. I understood exactly what I was up against. But I sought 8 medical opinions because every time I walked in, I expected to be treated as two human beings, not one. I expected to be treated with dignity and respect. And I really expected to be a partner in my care. And
right.
when I said a partner in my care, that meant that I really thought that I had decisions that were mine.
Right.
And all of them were mine. And I got to have a say in what my treatment options were and what I was willing to do and what I wasn't willing to do. And what I discovered was there are protocols, and the individual isn't always an equation, you know, a part of the equation. I also discovered that a lot of my questions they weren't able to answer, and I had my hope just completely stripped from me.
Really?
In any number of ways. I was told that if I persisted in keeping this pregnancy, I wouldn't carry my son to term, that he would be born with a low birth weight and he'd have all kinds of brain problems. I was told that I'd be lucky to survive 3 years. I was told so many things that stripped me of hope. And what I decided was I can't be treated in these places if they're not willing to fight with me.
Right, exactly.
So a family friend had saved an 800 number for 15 years, and it was a place that he liked. And he said to me, I saved this number. I liked this place. Why don't you give them a call? And ultimately, that is what I did. They answered the phone, as you know, Mel, Cancer Treatment Centers of America,
yes.
And that's how I got there. It
wow.
was with a family friend who gave me an 800 number. And they treated me with dignity and respect, but more importantly, they gave me the tools that I really kept asking questions about to help myself survive. So I thought, if there's a way nutritionally that I can help keep my body strong, then I want to know what that is.
Right.
If there is a way through naturopathic medicine that I can help avert some of the side effects of chemotherapy, and I can keep my blood counts high so that I don't fall prey to anemia, if there are things that I can do, I want to know what those are. If there are supplements that I can take that might benefit my health in the long run, I want the benefit of knowing about that. And lastly, if there's some way that I can know what role my mind plays in this, I want to know, because there's no way in hell I'm dying from this disease.
Right. And I think it seems like to me, from what everything you're saying, that CTCA was kind of on the forefront of
yeah.
what's happening now.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot more empowered patients. One of the things that I don't want to say preach, but one of the things that I say, if you don't like your doctor, you fire your doctor. You know, if
yeah.
you like one store over the other, you're not going to shop at the store you don't like.
You know, when we buy a car, we are somehow entrusted to make all kinds of complicated decisions in our lives, right?
We
can buy cars, we can buy houses, we can make really big purchasing decisions in our lives. And quite honestly, things that we're not experts in.
Right.
But when it comes to our health care, suddenly we're supposed to divorce ourselves from our role as a consumer mm-hmm. and our role as an individual and just turn all that over. And in this case, I was talking about my life, and I didn't believe that I should turn that over.
Right.
If I'm trusted to buy a house and a car, then I should be trusted to buy my health care.
Exactly.
And the bottom line was, if you weren't going to treat me with dignity and respect when I walked in your doors, then I'm guessing that you can't work for me.
Exactly.
So I left.
Right.
And I found a place that I was willing to work with.
Because I think, yeah, we have the same kind of philosophy, I believe. I mean, I always thought, well, if I can't get my doctors to laugh or crack a smile or something, then it's you know, I got to go.
Yeah. And
because that's one of the things that, you know, I'll either find a way to break the ice, whether it be sports or just talking, you know, just telling some just bizarre off-color joke, which always makes my fiance just shake his head and go, why did you say that? But most of the stuff I don't want to say here because it's a family show, but, you know, just things like that. And if I don't get like kind of a reaction, it's just like, oh, well, you know, what does this person do after he leaves here? I mean, is he a robot or?
Well, that's just it. I wanted somebody to be human with me. And I didn't want pride in the fact that we were treating a pregnant woman with chemotherapy.
Right.
There should be no pride in that. This is a tragedy all the way around. No 34-year-old should have to go through that.
Right.
And I wanted someone who was going to support me, fight with me, and then treat me with dignity and respect. That was very, very important to me. But above all of that, I needed somebody who was going to put a plan together with the goals and the outcomes that I wanted out of this.
Right.
And they were a lot more than simply survival. Quality of life came into play. There was a lot of things that came into play that I wanted considered. They did that for me at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Awesome.
That's what I got, and that's why I stayed, and I was ultimately treated there. I delivered my baby at term. He was a beautiful, healthy baby boy. He was born in August of 1998, and he turned 12 2 weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations.
And he's just terrific, and I love him, and it is a privilege to be his mom.
Now, did you do chemo while he was pregnant? Or what?
I did. I did chemotherapy in my second and into my third trimester.
Okay.
Had surgery in my first trimester, and then had radiation almost a year and a half after my original diagnosis.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have a lumpectomy or a mastectomy?
I had a mastectomy. Mm-hmm. Lumpectomy because I could not be radiated while I was pregnant was not an option for me.
Okay.
And I don't know what I would have done had it been an option, to be honest with you. I don't think any of us can ever really say.
Right, exactly.
But I did have a mastectomy at 10 weeks.
And you had reconstruction?
I did. I chose to have reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is not an easy road.
No. Well, I remember when I was diagnosed and they said, oh, you only need a lumpectomy. I was just like, because if I have to think about, you know, as you know, everything's just like the surgeon just gave me my course of treatment or whatever I just found out. And then they're saying, oh, well, you know, you only have to have a lumpectomy. And then he said, well, you know, if you want to be really proactive, sometimes the cancer spreads to the other breast, so we can take that part off, too. And I was just like, look, I'm all about being proactive, but let's not get carried away.
That's just it. And I ultimately did make that decision.
Right.
But that is, those are decisions that you make in the time frame that you can mentally and physically make them.
Exactly. But you know what? As you were saying, being proactive, you know, I did have that option. I mean, if
absolutely.
I wanted to, and, you know, I don't know if you know this about me, but I was adopted. So at the time, my medical history was pretty slim. And I, you know, eventually found out more. But, you know, I was just like, well, you know, this is all I could handle at this point.
Yeah.
Getting just the lump taken out. And luckily it was in a spot where the breast could be saved. But,
and
you know,
that's your decision
right.
at that time. We are owed all of our treatment options. Mm-hmm. All of our options should be presented to us.
Exactly.
Even if they're not performed in that particular cancer center that you are sitting in, you are still owed the discussion of what all your options are.
Oh, exactly. And getting a second opinion is important, or a third, or
a third,
however
fourth,
many.
Fifth, however many you need to make yourself comfortable and make sure that the plan is about the outcome.
Right. It's
you
about
absolutely
you, not
owe
about,
that to yourself.
Not about how your doctor feels about, you know, if they get another, ooh, I saved this one, or, you know.
No, this isn't about building a friendship. This is about building a partnership that has one goal in mind, and that is getting you back to health with quality of life intact.
Exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we certainly don't think differently.
No, not at all. I mean, that's, like I said, that's one of the things I talk about. It's like, okay, well, if your doctor isn't telling you what you want to hear, or, you know, you like your doctor, but he isn't giving you all the information, then, my God, ask. Don't wait. I mean, I have a friend who said, well, they didn't do the chemo teach until a day before my chemo treatment. And I was like, well, shame on you, because you're a smart, intelligent person. You know, one of the smartest people I know. And it's just like, you know, I know it's scary and it's devastating, you know, as we all know with a cancer diagnosis. I mean, you know, but don't wait.
No, you know, it's really interesting because in healthcare we are trained in this society to follow, not to lead.
Right.
And the one place that you have to stand up and lead is when you get sick.
Exactly.
You absolutely must find it somewhere within yourself to lead. And if you can't for whatever reason, then find that advocate who's willing to do it for you.
Exactly. And I find that, you know, like you waited with your lump and your doctor said, I don't think. I mean, I've heard that story so many times, and
right.
I'm sure you have, where it's just like, well, you're too young. You know, and I read these stories about, you know, when the whole mammogram issue came up, and they're like, well, we don't want people to get undue anxiety. I'm like, give me a Xanax, give me a biopsy, a mammogram, and I'll, you know, sit by the phone for a couple of days. And I'd rather know that it's, you know, positive or negative, rather than just going, I'll just sit on it and wait. Because cancer isn't the kind of thing that you can just wait. It's not a wait and see. You know, it's not like a scratch where you can just put a Band-Aid on it and go, oh, well, yeah, if that doesn't heal in a couple of days, I'll go see the doctor.
Right. And sitting and waiting could make a very significant difference in the outcome, and that's never a good plan.
Right.
So, you know, those decisions that we make early on affect everything that happens later on, and they're very, very important decisions. Absolutely. Be proactive about your health care and know your body.
Exactly.
You know, you're an expert on you. When you enter a doctor's office, the doctor has expertise. Respect that and treat it professionally and respectfully. But on the flip side, you're an expert on you. And there are two experts in that room.
Exactly.
Not one, two. And both viewpoints and both areas of expertise have to be respected.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask the difficult questions or even the embarrassing questions.
Oh, gosh, no.
Because you're probably not the first one to ask an embarrassing question.
But and if you are, good for you.
And yeah, if I know, if I'm the one who asks, like, the most embarrassing question, trust me, I want to know about it.
Exactly. Well, and you know, it's interesting because when you go out on a limb and you do ask an embarrassing question, it really does mean that it's important to you.
Right.
You know, to verbalize something that's embarrassing to you means that it's important, and that needs to be treated with respect.
Exactly. And I think the hardest thing for me was asking, survivorship is very hard for me.
Yeah.
Just going back to work and not looking like I was used to and not being able to do the things that I was used to and going in and asking for, like, antidepressants and help like that. That was hard for me. And it took me a long time to ask. And, as you know, it's looking back, I'm just like, idiot, why did you wait so long? You know, why did you just, like, you know, let yourself go for months of just being depressed and sad? You know, and it got to the point where I was just like, this is insane, you know.
Well, if we could be perfect in all of our decisions, it would be beautiful, wouldn't it? But we're not perfect in all of them.
I thought I was.
You know, I know. Isn't that amazing? But, you know, I did actually make a conscious agreement with myself when I was diagnosed and in those days where I was having to make all of these crazy decisions. And that agreement was, you're going to forgive yourself if you make a bad decision.
Right.
Because, you know, you're making so many decisions about what's going on, and you're making decisions with as much information as you have in that moment and at that time, and you can't look backwards and beat yourself up.
Exactly. It's,
you can't do it. So, you know, learning to forgive yourself when you're not perfect is as important as some of the other stuff that you have to do when you're going through cancer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now, were you working when you were going through all, I mean, you obviously had to take a leave of absence, but tell me how you went from getting the number for the Cancer Treatment Centers of America to actually working for Gateway, which is affiliated with Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
You know, I was working when I was diagnosed with cancer and fully expected to go back to work after my son was born. I was in sales and marketing management and had been for many, many years in an unrelated non-healthcare field. And the day my son was born and I took one look at him after being told that I'd be lucky to survive 3 years, I walked away.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I'd be very good at what I did anymore. So I walked away, and I chose to stay home with him and watch him roll over and take his first steps and
nice.
Take advantage of, you know, everything that I could possibly take advantage of just in case, right?
Right.
Well, I stayed home with him, but I also, when I felt like it, volunteered for Cancer Treatment Centers of America and told my story to others, because I couldn't find anybody like me when I was diagnosed.
Right.
So I did volunteer my story, and I helped them when they asked me to, and I stayed current, and I stayed close to an organization that gave me so many gifts. And a few years ago, or 2 years ago, actually, they called me up and asked me if I'd be willing to talk to them about this organization, which is the Gateway for Cancer Research, and I said that I would. And that is how I came to the Gateway for Cancer Research.
Did you move up, or they just said, here you go, president?
It was more here you go. I had, in those years that I was away, I had lobbied in Washington, D.C. I had done a whole lot of things to prepare myself
All right.
to be in that role. But, yeah, you know, it was, I'm deeply passionate about this. I'm deeply
right.
passionate about patient empowerment. But for me, getting to solutions and finding answers for not just cancer patients a generation from now, but cancer patients who are in hospitals today is extremely critical. We have to get to that place. We're not there, and someone has to be here to change that conversation. And I thought, what a great opportunity through the Gateway for Cancer Research to change the conversation and start doing something that's solution-oriented.
Now,
was that okay?
Well, now I know that when I went there for the empowerment rally, I was very impressed that 99 cents out of a dollar goes directly to research.
That is correct. You know, we are aligned with Cancer Treatment Centers of America. We're a separate 501c3, which means we're a separate charity. But we are philosophically aligned with Cancer Treatment Centers of America in that everything that we do is only about cancer patients and today's cancer patients. On top of that, Cancer Treatment Centers of America as an organization underwrites our entire operating budget so that 99 cents of every dollar that's donated can go directly to cancer research.
Excellent.
Yeah, and, you know, it just reinforces all of those things that I was given. You know, for Cancer Treatment Centers of America, a corporation to fund research outside its own four walls, that's unheard of.
Right.
We go out in the marketplace. We're allowed to go worldwide to competing organizations and fund research at all of those organizations as long as it is transitional research or translational research meant to get an option to a cancer patient today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is awesome. So we're philosophically aligned, and we are, you know, philosophically together while we're separate organizations.
And I think one of the most impressive things about organizations like yours and I think Stand Up to Cancer is that it's not just about one cancer.
No, it's
you
not.
Know, because as I always say, as you know and I know, October, you know,
absolutely.
It's the pink ribbon, as I like to call it, craptasm. I kind of stole that word from Matthew Zachary, but just everything. I mean, I'll take pictures of everything with a pink ribbon on it. And sometimes I just think, and as a breast cancer survivor, you could probably agree with me there. Sometimes you just think, are they just a shady company trying to sell something because it's Cancer Awareness Month?
Well, yeah, I saw a campaign called Think Before You Pink.
Yeah.
And, you know, there really is, you want to make sure that where your dollar is going is where, you know, is providing the results that you want it to provide.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, you know, think before you pink. But more importantly, what we've done in cancer, there are, what, 11 million survivors walking around today, mm-hmm. and all of those people who love us, and then all of the people who have gone before us.
Right.
And when you think about that number of people, we could be so very powerful if we hadn't fragmented the cancer marketplace, right? Because right now we're fractured.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is Gateway for Cancer Research is funding research in all cancers, because if you have a head and neck cancer, it's a terribly underfunded area.
Right.
But if there is a good treatment option that needs to be funded, then we need to be willing to fund that. And what we learn by doing that could be applied to so many other cancers. We can't walk around with blinders on.
Exactly.
We've got to be able to apply what we know to other areas.
I agree.
Have to.
I agree. And it's just, as a breast cancer survivor, a lot of survivors are breast cancer advocates, but I'm a cancer advocate because I believe, like, if you don't treat the lung cancer, you know, breasts are sexy. You know, they sell, but you know what? If you don't have the brain that goes with it, or the skin that goes with it, or the lungs to breathe, then, you know, the rest of the body parts are nothing. I mean, it's all a whole.
It's cancer.
Right.
It is a breakdown in something about your immune system, right? It's
right.
Some sort of a breakdown. If we crack the code to any of them.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it would be amazingly great. And, you know, for me, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If we can just crack the code to one and get to something meaningful for one, how can we then take that and apply that to all of the others?
Right. I think that would naturally have a domino effect.
Because, of course.
Because as I see on the news and Twitter and everything, one drug for, say, colon cancer also works well for lung cancer.
Right.
You know, they're finding that different things work, and maybe they should start thinking like you guys do, and I think Stand Up to Cancer does, where it's just like, okay, well, we can't just, like, focus on one. I mean, there are groups that focus on one, but if this drug works for, you know, throat and head and neck cancer, well, then it could work for another kind of cancer.
Well, you know, it's all about opening up thinking, because if you only do and study one type of cancer, you really do narrow your focus a bit. I remember talking to a researcher, and we don't call them researchers here at Gateway for Cancer Research. We call them treatment innovators, because if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, basic research is great, and you're a researcher if you do that. But for us, what we fund treatment innovators. We want folks who are looking at really doing something for a patient today.
Right.
So we call them treatment innovators. And I talked to one of our treatment innovators recently, and the conversation went, when you go to ASCO, do you go, you're a breast cancer treatment innovator, so do you go to colon cancer presentations?
Right.
And he said, you know, I never did. And one year I forced myself to do it. And he said, it opened my mind so much that I didn't even realize how closed it had become.
Mm-hmm. And ASCO is, for people who don't know?
It's the American Society of Clinical Oncologists, and they are the group that publishes a whole bunch of their research projects in one location every year at a seminar, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the way I think we have to start getting people to think.
Yeah. Yeah. What if thinking a little bit outside your own box might come to something, you know, really earth-shattering for somebody? We've got to get to that place where we're thinking outside the box, because what we're doing isn't working.
Exactly. I know.
It's not working.
And there's, like you said, you were diagnosed at 34. I mean, I see so many different survivors of different cancers, and not even, you know, like I just told you today, I just lost a friend who's battled it for 10 years. You know, imagine if whatever drug for cancer X could have helped him, but nobody, you know, opened up the box and said, oh, maybe drug XYZ. What about X? Could that help him? I mean,
because,
who knows?
You know, in my mind, every single day I walk into my office knowing that there are cancer patients in hospitals right now at this very moment who need one more treatment.
Exactly.
And we, as the research community, have got to be focused on providing that.
Exactly.
And we have to be focused not only on providing another treatment for that patient today, but we've also got to be focused on that patient's quality of life.
Exactly.
If we destroy quality of life at the same time that we're treating that patient, then we have done a disservice. And we have to shift the conversation to giving one more treatment, but also to protecting quality of life at every turn.
And that goes to your new logo, right? Demand Cures Today.
It does. You know, it's about injecting urgency into this. We've been, I think, what was it, in 1971, President Nixon declared the war on cancer.
Right.
And since 1971, we've been gathering a great deal of very interesting and you know, valuable information. But it's time that we put urgency into this. You know, the gathering of interesting information is great, but how are we going to apply that to a patient today?
Exactly.
And I have to believe that that's where we all want our money going.
I agree. And I think, like we were talking about, an interesting story is the gentleman who discovered Herceptin, the HER2 gene.
Mm-hmm.
His, I think, Genentech.
Dennis Slamon, and it was Genentech.
Genentech,
yes.
I think from the movie that I watched on Lifetime, they made it seem like, well, there isn't enough proof that this will help. So they didn't want to fund.
Right.
So he luckily knew a high-powered person in Hollywood.
Right.
Brandon Tartikoff's wife, who used to run NBC, Brandon Tartikoff, and she got money from Avon. And imagine if he didn't know her, where you and I would be today. We might not even be talking here.
That's, you know, it's when you think about how lucky women were, right, for Herceptin to have even been developed. Because,
yes.
And actually, when I was diagnosed, Herceptin was still in its clinical trials. I never took Herceptin.
Wow.
Yeah, because it wasn't available at the time that I was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now it's available to women, and now it's being applied in other cancers where they believe it might help.
Excellent.
That's the kind of thinking that we absolutely have to get to. But we also have to get to this place where when a treatment innovator like Dennis Slamon discovers something like the HER2 new oncogene, and it wasn't he who discovered it, but looks at it differently,
right,
and says, I have an idea that might help 25% of women who get breast cancer. And he starts coming up with this idea. Instead of shutting him down, how do we celebrate his idea and move it as fast as we can to help that 25% of women? We have to get to a place where we're doing that.
And that's what you're doing with
your
new logo.
That is what we're trying to do.
Also,
absolutely.
Demand Cures Today.
And Demand Cures Today.
And I know that I was talking to your partner in crime there, Sarah. You have a fundraiser coming up in October.
We do. We have a gala event coming up in October in Chicago, Illinois, and it is designed to celebrate those things that we have done right and those ways in which we can show our donors how we have used their money. But more importantly, it is designed to change the conversation and to talk about what it is that we as a cancer community have got to be doing going forward for cancer patients.
Nice. And
yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about it. Like, when is it? And if people want to donate any kind of funds or any kind of...
It's in Chicago. It's on Saturday, October 16th at the Palmer House Hilton in Chicago. Mm-hmm. If you want more information, you can either give us a call at 847-342-7450, or you can email us at ingrid.wells@gatewaycr.org.
Excellent.
You can also go to our website.
And what is that?
It is demandcurestoday.org.
Excellent. Now, I don't have to ask you how people can get a hold of you. And they can always donate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You can donate 24/7. And if you do, 99 cents of every dollar will go directly to cancer research programs. But more importantly, we're going to put that money toward things that are really designed to help a cancer patient who is struggling right now.
Right. Because I've been telling most of my guests that I've had on the show that I want to put you guys out of business. You know,
You know what? We would welcome that. I come to work every day in the hopes, you know, for me, this is deeply personal, and you
yes.
know this by my story.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this is about not another generation. How many
right.
generations are we supposed to wait?
Exactly.
And not another generation. I have a beautiful 12-year-old. No, not him.
Exactly.
And that really is what drives me every single day. So if I'm no longer doing this in 2 years or in a year or in 3 years or 4 years, I am perfectly fine with that. But it has to be no longer doing it for the right reasons.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, no more.
Absolutely. We can go sit on a porch somewhere, Mel,
yes.
and talk about the good old days when we were working toward this cause.
Exactly.
And how we found solutions for it.
Oh, my God. What would all those people who attach pink ribbons to their crap then? They'd have to find another marketing ploy.
That would be just fine with me. That would be more than just fine with me.
Although I think the most ironic one that I found, because I go out and I find these things, and like I was telling you, my fiance just shakes his head and says, "What are you doing?" I found a melon with a pink.
A what?
A melon.
As in, like a cantaloupe?
Like a watlet? Yeah, it was like a honeydew or something with a pink
okay.
ribbon on it. And I'm like, okay, this is going on the Facebook wall for sure.
That I have not yet seen. You know, the bottom line is, right, you got to know where your money's going.
Exactly.
And if the small print says your money is going toward awareness, then ask yourself if that's okay with you. If that's okay with you, then that's fine. But if that's not okay with you, then perhaps there's a different decision that needs to be made with that dollar.
Well, I'm all for awareness, but I think we're all aware that there's cancer. So I think more money needs to go towards research and development and finding a cure or getting
solutions.
Better medication solutions, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, because there are people who need them right now.
Yeah, because if there's no one out there who knows that there's cancer, really? I mean, I guess...
Unfortunately, we are all too aware.
Yes, exactly. So give us your contact information again where someone can get a hold of you for either the gala that you're having or just in general if they want to donate.
You can go to demandcurestoday.org to donate. Our gala information is on there as well. You can call us at 847-342-7450, and you can certainly email me as well, and it's lynette.bisconti@gatewaycr.org.
And, of course, you are on Twitter and Facebook.
We are on Twitter and Facebook. Please follow us there. We'd love to have you join us.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Lynette, for your time today. And I'm hoping that we're both out of business. So we will be sitting on the porch drinking and laughing about the end of cancer as we know it.
I look forward to that day. I dream of that day.
Oh,
believe me.
Me too.
Believe me.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is The Cancer Warrior. You can always follow me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Become a fan of the show, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. You can follow my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.